nodded and hurried away. "They're well outside the building," said a chair. "What ghastly people!"
"We shall have used the Assassin's Guild, though."
"Ha! They've done rather well out of Vetinari. In any case, we do not want him dead. However, it occurs to me that we may eventually have a job for the Guild later on."
"Quite so. When our friends have safely left the city, the roads can be so dangerous at this time of year."
"No, gentlemen, we will stick to our plan. The one called Charlie will be kept around until everything is entirely settled, in case he can be of further use. And then our gentleman will take him a long, long way away to pay him off. Perhaps later we will call the assassins in, just in case Mr. Pin has any clever ideas."
"Good point, although it does seem such a waste. The things one could do with Charlie."
"I told you it would not work. The man is a clown."
"I suppose you're right. Better something once and for all, then."
"I'm sure we understand one another. And now, this meeting of the committee to unselect the patrician is declared closed, and hasn't happened."
Lord Vetinari by habit rose so early that bedtime was merely an excuse to change his clothes. He liked the time just before a winter's dawn. It was generally foggy, which made it hard to see the city, and for a few hours there was no sound but the occasional brief scream. But the tranquillity was broken this morning by a cry just outside the palace gates.
"Oi, now, read up!"
He went to the window.
"Squared up head, oit!"
The patrician walked back to his desk and rang the bell for his clerk, Drumknot, who was dispatched to the walls to investigate.
"It's the beggar known as Foul Old Ron, sir,"
Drumknot reported 5 minutes later.
"Selling this paper full of things."
He held it between two fingers, as though expecting it to explode. Lord Vetinari took it and read through it. Then he read through it again. "Well, well," he said. "The Ankh Morpork Times. Was anyone else buying this?"
"A number of people, my lord. People coming off the night shifts, market people, and so on."
"I see no mention of Hoinari Lap or Squidaped Oit."
"No, my lord."
"How very strange." Lord Vetinari read for a moment and said, "Clear my appointments this morning, will you? I will see the Guild of Town Criers at 9 o'clock and the Guild of Engravers at 10 past.
"I wasn't aware they had appointments, sir."
"They will have," said Lord Vetinari. "When they see this, they will have." "Well, well. I see 56 people were hurt in a tavern brawl."
"That seems rather a lot, my lord."
"It must be true, Drumknot," said the patrician. "It's in the paper. Oh, and send a message to that nice Mr. De Word, too. I will see him at 9:30. He ran his eye down the grey type again. "And please also put out the word that I wish to see no harm coming to Mr. De Word, will you?" Drumknot, usually so adept in his understanding of his master's requirements, hesitated a moment.
"My lord, do you mean that you want no harm to come to Mr. De Word, or that you want no harm to come to Mr. De Word?"
"Did you wink at me, Drumknot?"
"No, sir."
"Drumknot, I believe it is the right of every citizen of Ankh Morpork to walk the streets unmolested."
"Good God, sir, is it?"
"Indeed."
"But I thought you were very much against movable type, sir. You said it would make printing too cheap and people would..."
"Shinari lap!"
shouted the newspaper seller down by the gates. "Are you poised for the exciting new millennium that lies before us, Drumknot? Are you ready to grasp the future with a willing hand?"
"I don't know, my lord. Is special clothing required?"
The other lodgers were already at the breakfast table when William hurried down. He was hurrying because Mrs. Arcanum had views about people who were late for meals. Mrs. Arcanum, proprietress of Mrs. Eucrasia Arcanum's lodging house for respectable working men, was what Saccharissa was unconsciously training to be. She wasn't just respectable. She was respectable. It was a lifestyle, religion and hobby combined. She liked respectable people who were clean and decent. She used the phrase as if it was impossible to be one without being the other. She kept respectable beds and cooked cheap but respectable meals for her respectable lodgers, who apart from William were mostly middle-aged